Well, thanks for sticking around for some of the last presentations today. Like she said, my name is Katie Brantley, and I'm a master's student in the Crop, Soil, and Environmental Sciences Department at the University of Arkansas. I'll be sharing a portion of my research with you today, specifically focusing on root biomass and mycorrhizal infection in loam soil amended with poultry litter biochar. I'll begin with a brief overview of biochar and justifications for continued research on biochar, then the specific objective and hypothesis for this study and our experimental approach and materials and methods, and then end with our results and a discussion and some concluding thoughts. So if you're unfamiliar with biochar, it's essentially charcoal that can be produced from a wide variety of different biomass products. These can be wood chips, crop residues, or manures, as examples, and they undergo nearly anaerobic conditions, generally between temperatures of about 300 and 700 degrees Celsius. And what really differentiates biochar from more of a traditional charcoal product is its specific use as a soil amendment. Some of the agronomic effects of biochar addition to soils include changes to soil pH, cation exchange capacity, and soil aggregation, as well as changes to water infiltration and water holding capacity, plant biomass and yield, and even changes to soil and plant nutrient concentrations. However, any of the potential agronomic effects of biochar addition to soils are very dependent on the biochar product that you use. And these factors are very dependent on the biomass that produces your biochar, as well as those production conditions. So now researchers are really realizing that biochars definitely can differ, and so they're trying to figure out if there are some biochar products that might be more beneficial than others. One option is a poultry litter-based biochar. Just last year, over 8.5 billion broilers were produced in the United States, and of course this does not even encompass the whole poultry litter industry, quite a bit of poultry litter is produced, obviously, as a waste product from the poultry industry, and so some of this could actually be used to produce biochar. When investigating the effects of a soil amendment, it's important to look at the effects on a certain crop. For example, corn. Corn is a very important commodity crop in the United States and also requires quite a bit of fertilizer inputs. One potential biochar research question is there potential for a reduction in inorganic fertilizer with the addition of biochar? And that's what we chose to study in this experiment. We are investigating the effects of poultry litter biochar in combination with varying amounts of nitrogen and phosphorus fertilizer on soil nutrient availability and corn growth. And this was under controlled conditions. We hypothesized that adequate corn growth and nutrient uptake would occur with the biochar addition that could actually reduce inorganic fertilizer inputs, either because of the intrinsic properties of the biochar and maybe even indirect biochar effects on soil and plant variables. We chose to test this hypothesis in a greenhouse study at the University of Arkansas. This was at the Razor loam soil that was harvested from northwest Arkansas. We grew a DeKalb hybrid corn variety. This is a randomized complete block design. It's a full factorial with 9 treatments and 4 replications. The treatments included a poultry litter biochar applied at 3 different rates. These were 0, 5, and 10 megagrams per hectare. And a few of the total recoverable nutrient concentrations are listed here based on our application rates. Our other treatment was a combination of nitrogen and phosphorus fertilizer applied at what are going to be called no, half, and full rates. These are based on our initial soil tests, and the nitrogen application was based on recommended rates for optimal corn growth. The plant analyses I'll be discussing today include ear leaf nutrient concentrations. These ear leaves were harvested when greater than 50% of our plants had reached the tasseling stage. We also looked at root biomass and morphology, mycorrhizal infection, and above ground biomass and plant height. All these different variables were analyzed using analysis of variance in SAS, and least significant differences were used to separate means at an alpha of 0.05. And we are also interested in when there was not a significant difference at this alpha of 0.05, looking for a tendency for an effect at an alpha of 0.1. So I'll move straight into the results and discussion. I have listed a couple of the different properties of the particular biochar product that we use. Again, it's a poultry litter biochar, and to give you kind of a frame of reference, here's a wood chip-based biochar to compare, and they're produced at pretty similar temperatures, but you can tell that just changing that biomass product can really make a big difference on your nutrient concentrations in your biochar. And so again, we use this poultry litter biochar that's really pretty nutrient rich. So if you look at some of our corn results, we observed a biochar effect on our plant height and above ground biomass. So with the addition of biochar, irrespective of the rate, there was an increase in both plant height and above ground biomass compared to no biochar addition. There was also a tendency for an increase in yearly phosphorus with that 10 megagrams per hectare biochar application. This was compared to the control, or the no biochar treatment. If we compare that to the fertilizer effect that was observed, plant high, above ground biomass, and earleaf nitrogen actually increased with increasing fertilizer additions. So we did not see a biochar effect on our earleaf nitrogen concentrations. We were looking for some mechanisms for why we had the biochar effects on our above ground crop performance and that increased tendency for an increase in yearly phosphorus, and one potential mechanism would be an improvement or an increase in mycorrhizal infection. This is a symbiotic relationship between certain fungi and plant roots, and the fungi benefit from gaining energy and carbohydrates from the plant, and then the plants benefit because the mycorrhizal hyphae are able to, or the fungal hyphae are able to scavenge the soil for water and nutrients beyond what the roots can access themselves and bring that to the plant. This is a particularly useful symbiotic relationship in terms of immobile nutrients in the soil, such as phosphorus. We actually did not see a biochar effect, however, on mycorrhizal infection, so this is not a potential mechanism to explain that, those improvements with the biochar addition. There was a fertilizer effect on our mycorrhizal infection percentage. Here, in this figure has the fertilizer rate on the x-axis, the now half and full rates, and our reinfection on the y-axis. And with the full rate of fertilizer, there was actually a decrease in mycorrhizal infection compared to our control. And this is pretty expected. There was more of a nutrient addition with that full fertilizer rate and more nutrients readily available for the plant to access itself, and so less of that reliance on that symbiotic relationship. We invested a couple other root parameters to see what else was going on below ground, and there was actually a biochar effect on our root mats. So here our biochar rate is on the x-axis, and you can see at that 10 megagrams per hectare biochar application, there was actually an increase in our root mass compared to the control. Very similar effect, again, with the biochar in terms of our root diameter, an increase with that 10 megagrams per hectare biochar. If you compare that to a fertilizer effect that was also observed, both root mass and diameter increased with increasing fertilizer addition. Taking a closer look at some other root parameters, based on fertilizer and biochar interaction effect, various root morphological parameters actually increased. The x-axis in this figure is our fertilizer rate, and the no, half, and full rates, and then within each fertilizer treatment are the three different biochar treatments. And what hopefully really stands out for you in this figure is the pretty giant increase in root length with a combination of full fertilizer and 10 megagrams per hectare. And this effect this result was actually observed not only in our root length, but also the surface area, number of root tips, and our root volume. I'm going to go back to the zoomed-in image to point out another interesting result. With the combination of with the combination of the half fertilizer and the 10 megagrams per hectare, this produced statistically similar root length as was produced with full fertilizer alone, or in combination with that lesser biochar application of 5 megagrams per hectare. And again, this was not only observed in our root length, but also our root surface area, number of root tips, and root volume. So overall, there is an increase in corn growth with biochar addition. and this was particularly evident at the 10 megagrams per hectare application rate. Multiple other researchers have also reported improvements in crop performance with biochar addition. We also observed a tendency for an increase in yearly phosphorus, particularly with that 10 megagrams per hectare biochar. Again, other researchers have also observed improvements or increases in nutrient concentrations due to biochar addition. Improvements in mycorrhizal infection or increases in mycorrhizal infection did not end up being a potential mechanism for this improved crop performance because we did not have a biochar effect on mycorrhizal infection. Multiple other research experiments have also come to produce similar results. However, this is not always the case. Other researchers have actually seen increases in mycorrhizal infection with biochar addition, and a couple of experiments actually were not just applying biochar, but also fungal inoculants. We were not interested in this particular focus because we were wanting to more so see what effects biochar had on that native or pre-existing fungal community and not adding additional fungi. In terms of our root morphological parameters, the combination of 10 megagrams per hectare poultry litter biochar and half fertilizer produced statistically similar root morphological parameters as were produced with full fertilizer alone or in combination with that lesser biochar rate of 5 megagrams per hectare. So basically, there were more and bigger roots with the 10 megagrams per hectare biochar, and so the potential for a better plant nutrient accessibility. Prendergast Miller et al. Actually reported preferential root growth towards biochar in their study, and this supports a conclusion that there's perhaps direct nutrient addition with biochar. Some takeaway messages from today are there's overall increase in corn growth with biochar addition, particularly with 10 megagrams per hectare rate, and so the potential for a decrease in inorganic fertilizer with 10 megagrams per hectare poultry litter biochar. Additional research with this poultry litter biochar will be necessary, particularly to look at some other potential biochar effects like improvements in cation exchange capacity, water holding capacity, and soil aggregation. With that, I'd just like to thank all of the individuals and organizations who have helped me with my research, and I'll take any questions at this time. So we did a grid intersect method. Correct. And he's asking what method I used for the percent mycorrhizal infection. So the grid line intersect method. So the method is definitely very dependent on who's looking at the microscope. So I looked at all of it, so at least they're going to be similar based on my interpretation. But yeah, I think they would definitely vary based on whose eyes are looking. Okay, so the question is, what's the difference between poultry litter biochar and just a dried poultry litter? So poultry litter biochar is going to be, research has kind of found that that's actually going to be more stable, and it's going to not break down as quickly in the soil, and so there's going to be more of a potentially residual effect, which of course we didn't study in this short-term study, but that's something to look into. And so other researchers have actually reported reduced leaching in comparison of the nutrients, since they're going to maybe persist for longer in the soil.
Is there any information on what's better for crop, what's
crop growth? So he's asking about bigger impact on crop growth. That's obviously a big question with all of this research. It's going to very much depend on a lot of the different situations, your soil type, the biochar you use, a certain crop, and of course, what exactly you're trying to get out of it. If you're really wanting lots of input of nutrients very quickly, then maybe more of a readily available nutrient source would be better. So.